I just hit the record button right there. Guys, Curtis, James,
I knew that was gonna
Pieces
happen.
Of a Dream, thank you so much for just giving me a minute of your time after your sound check. Mainly because I've been a fan of your music for quite some time. You guys don't know this, but there's been several times in my life y'all didn't help me out, and y'all don't even know. We just met today.
Okay.
I mean,
A few times.
One of the times was with my way back, way before the ring. Before I got the ring, there were some times where, you know, I could just cut on any one of y'all's songs and everything I said sound butter because y'all did all the groundwork. I mean, I just went, after the ring it worked. Who are we kidding? I mean, like,
I hear you.
The All In, I mean, that album. Thank you. You may or may not be responsible for my son, but, you know, we'll chop that up later.
From what I understand, we're responsible for
I'm pretty sure that I'm not the first person to
whole
say that.
Generation of kids.
And also, a long, long time ago, my niece now, she's a teenager. She don't think I'm cool no more and all that. But when she was a baby, one thing we used to put on here in Detroit, we had a V98.7. Mm-hmm. She would cry and whine on. She couldn't go to sleep. But they had Pieces of a Dream night for whatever. They was just playing all your hits.
Oh, my goodness.
And we put that on just like, all right, whatever. Went to sleep immediately. So from here on out, when she got fussy, we just reached and got a Pieces of a Dream CD. And we're just like,
yeah,
all right.
Put her right on out.
I wonder if it still worked because, you know, she in her teenage years. Nah, you know, I don't. Probably try it out later on. Just get a little lippy.
Sure, no.
just try it out. But what I'm saying, thank you guys so much. But I mean, like, I can go over the history, but we don't do this Tarantino style. Mm-hmm. Just like the latest album, Just Funkin' Around. I love it. You guys have been collaborating for over 40 years, doing your thing. Mm-hmm. And this new one, I am partial to the songs New Day. I like New Day. Kind of like Manhattan, but that New Day is up there with me, the title track. But okay. Please tell us a little bit about the album, the new one.
Well, it is really funk, mm-hmm. funk, as the title depicts. If you listen to it, there's no ballads. There's no real ballad on there. You know, some slower things, but we really want to just kind of dig into the funk side. You know, Pieces of a Dream has so many facets to it. You know, we got our sensuous side, our funk side, our soulful side, you know, kind of R&B side, gospel side.
Some pop.
And, you know,
yeah,
some pop.
Yeah, I've
know.
Heard it.
So, yeah, and this was a really, really major collaborative effort between Curtis and myself and as well as the other members of the group.
Now, one of the things I was very interested in, because my intel, I think y'all stay in two different cities,
mm-hmm.
New York and Cleveland. Once again, sorry about that.
That's
a big incident.
That's all right.
But how do you guys collaborate? Because our whole last podcast was just, I'm a Golden State Warriors fan. They're like kind of like my redheaded stepchild. Mm. We're good. Detroit ain't in it. And y'all beat us, so I'm doubly mad at LeBron. But
yeah.
So, yeah. This
well,
last...
we actually, a lot of, some of our collaboration is over the internet.
Okay.
You know, we'll send files back and forth to each other. But on some of these albums, you know, I'll go to his studio or, you know, he's recently come to mine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we actually find that working together in person sometimes kind of push that, you know, extra oomph in the song, especially like songs like Right Back At You,
mm-hmm.
On the Move, you know, and I find that we work better together when we're actually right in front of each other in the same studio doing
right.
what we do.
Okay. I mean, like, and usually when you have that closeness, I guess, I mean, you guys, like I said, over 40 years of being together, I'm pretty sure you can kind of remotely do it, how you say, mm-hmm. like when you go on the internet and you Skype and you do things. But when you're together, whatever that fuel that you guys have for all this time.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. chemistry, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of these tunes, you know, they're recorded live, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
You know, live tracks, live drums, you know, live bass. So it's a mixture of a few different techniques in order to create this cohesive project.
speaking of this, not just this project, but all of them, you guys been working together for so long. I gotta know, like, how do you guys keep the magic going? How do you guys, like, still stay interested? Where it's like, all right, I got this new thing, or hear this, or how does that work out? Or because out of 40 years, some people have been, man, I heard that one before. Or how does y'all keep that?
Well, that's
that
the one thing. I think the one thing that we've not done is been repetitious in our writing.
No, you haven't.
And I think that kind of keeps us interested in not only our stuff that we write individually, but stuff that, you know, it's like I like the stuff he writes, he likes the stuff that I write, and it keeps us interested in each other's projects, you know, each other's songs,
right,
as well. But like you said, man, over 40 years together, it's like, you know, we're like brothers, man. You know, yeah. We went junior high school, college, you know, all the way up to now. So, you know, we've got, it's like one person or one brain with two different people.
I get
you know
it.
What I mean?
And yeah. When you guys gel together, man, you guys make some great stuff. Like your origins, you came up in that Philadelphia sound, mm-hmm. where I mean, you got you guys, you got Grover Washington, you got just the entire sound of Philadelphia. Now that we just getting into mm-hmm. it, I got to know who influenced you, because at that time, you guys were the young kids. You guys were the young guys
right.
on the block.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we were like, you know, 12, 13, 14
yeah.
years old.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of the Philly musicians, you know, influenced us. There's, of course, that Philly sound, but a lot of other influences crept in there, you know. Then I started getting hip to people like Oscar Peterson and mm-hmm. and Herbie and Ramsey Lewis and, you know, listening to those. And then we would also listen to stuff like Earth, Wind & Fire and Funkadelic. So, and Heat Wave and, you know.
Commodores,
Kool & the Gang.
Parliament.
Know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Brass Construction.
Confunction.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Side
like,
Effect.
What's the voice? Switch.
Switch. Yeah. Man, Switch. I can never get my voice that high, but I try. I mean, no one alive haven't tried to at least try to hit that note
at least one time.
I did it in the car. I think I did. No one can prove it.
So, yeah, all of that is, you know, really a part of our musical upbringing, you know, mm-hmm. part of our roots.
I mean, like, and to have that pedigree in what you guys have done, and now you have, for lack of a better term, musical children. Because now people look at you in that high regard that you looked at the ones that you came up uh-huh. there. So I would only imagine somewhere there's a 12-year-old listening to you guys like, maybe one day, like, how do you guys feel about that when people like myself or we're here with the Jazz Spectacular and people keep walking past you like, hey, man, not for nothing. Yada yada, split, and they say what? How does that make you feel? Because
it feels
you're living feels legends.
Awesome. It feels great, man. It feels yeah. great. Because I mean, we idolized so many people growing up, and to have, you know, the younger generation feel the same way about us, man, it's just a blessing.
Oh, man, and like one of the this is such an look. I'm doing everything in my power to show my professionalism right now, but I'm nerding out inside. In the back of my mind, I'm like, I'm talking to Curtis and James. And this is a purely fan question, and I'm pretty sure you've been asked this a lot of times, but you guys have been all over the world. You guys have tons of albums and tons of music. How do you guys make a set list? Like, how does that go? Like, because when you got so many hits, how does that...
You know what? It actually... Well, it's not so hard when you got a new album out.
Okay.
Because you got to feature so many of the new cuts on your show, right?
Right.
But as the album gets older, it gets harder to make a set list because people want to hear certain things, you know. Even mm-hmm. though you're still doing some of that new stuff, they want to hear some of the older stuff like Mountain Groove and 454 and Warm Weather and, you know, club jazz and stuff like that. So it gets harder as the new album gets older, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And so to decide what you're going to throw in the show for any particular area, because certain areas, like certain songs, you know, certain songs were popular, more popular in certain areas than others. And So, and then we got to figure out, okay, who in the band knows these songs? Because we've been together 40 years, but they right. haven't been with us for all that time. You know what I mean?
So, you ever had any of those experiences where y'all two was really amped on playing a song, you're about to get into it, then you look over, oh, wait, y'all don't know that one? Has that ever happened?
Not really, because we pretty much know what they know and they don't know. You know,
it had like, got that far. You know,
yeah, knock on wood. I hope that never happens. But right. you just like, yeah, you don't know Warm Weather. okay, all right.
Now that one they know.
Oh yeah,
that one they know.
Those are like the premium ones.
Like for instance, a song like Outside In. They all don't know that one.
Okay, like the deep cuts and the stuff like that. Okay, but how does that, like, we talked about the new stuff, but how does that appeal to the older fans? Because you guys honestly get new fans every time you put out a new project. That's just how it works. But how does the older people who've been with you since day one, do they be like, no?
Well, I think because the music is still us. You know, so it's still the type of vibe that we've given the older fans all along, I think. And so even though these are newer songs, it's still coming from the same hearts and still has that same spirit that is Pieces of a Dream. And that's what I think that people tend to take to. And then, you know, our older fans seem to follow us along from album to album.
Okay.
Yeah, because even though you're getting new fans, you still have to please the older fans with the new music.
You're right. So, you never go against the core of the people who've been with you since day one.
Yeah.
But, like, Pieces of a Dream has had so many transitions, members who, you know, came and went and worked with so many people. What do you look for in those people who you may be working with in the future or part of Pieces of a Dream? What is that, like, is it something that they gotta have, or is it
chops?
Let's keep it straight. 100
versatility.
They gotta be able to play. And they have to be silly.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
They gotta be silly. They gotta be silly as the rest of us. And
this has gotta be somewhat all comedy too. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right. And that makes sense because you're hanging out with these guys. Mm-hmm. You don't want stone face all the time with you. And one of the things I want to touch on, because we're getting around that time, and once again, thanks again for just giving us a little bit of your time. But
no problem.
Like, I gotta ask, why are you an Eagles fan?
Oh man,
I mean, like, this is burning.
Wait. We just said I grew up in Philly, man.
I know
that's why I'm an Eagles fan.
But
I'm a Sixers fan and I'm a Phillies fan too.
Like.
All Philadelphia.
Like, I understand, like,
and I've been in
the LeBronness of it when I was cutting the hem a little bit with LeBron. All right. But, like,
hey,
I'm Eagles,
a Philly guy, man. Come on. I'm a Stone Cold Eagles, Phillies, Sixers, cheesesteak eating fan.
I mean, like, because you moved. And, like, that was it. You did your time. You did your time. That's why I looked at it. I was just like, well, he moved, so he, you know, he's not a dumb guy. I mean, like, but.
Oh, I'm married to a Giants fan, though, so.
Oh,
that's an unhappy household.
Oh, that whole, because twice a season, it's just quiet.
Somebody ain't happy.
It's just quiet. It's just,
my wife is a Stone Cold sports fan, too.
So, oh, man.
New York Knicks.
Like, and I know you come from the whole Cleveland thing and football. Do you just like, I'm straight. I just don't need to watch it at all.
I'm a Steelers fan.
Smart man. Smart man.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been a Steelers fan from like way back, since I was like a kid. I don't know. I think it was maybe the colors or Franco Harris and, you know, and the bus. And, that era, you know.
Now, one other thing I loved about you, I've been doing a little bit of little back channel, some homework a little bit. Martial arts, I got to know, man. Like, you're deep into martial arts.
Yeah.
All right, come on. Like, what's that? Like, I read Taekwondo.
Yeah, I have a black belt in Taekwondo. And I've also done Wing Chun Kung Fu and Lama Kung Fu. And now Shaolin. Kung Fu and Tai Chi.
So, just shot in the dark here. Have you ever had to use that on the road, some manager, you know, trying to hold your cash a little bit? You give them the 5-finger death punch, like,
You know.
You take 5 steps and he just falls.
Yeah, exactly. You know about that with a 5-point exploding heart technique.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, no, I have not.
Okay,
know,
had, I'm just saying you got to, that in your arsenal.
And I had to activate.
You okay, know, you know, like, boom. You got till next Thursday to get your affairs in order, sir. And one thing, in my like homework, you guys, not only on stage, but you guys are dangerous in the kitchen. We got y'all cook. Like, I heard it a little bit while I was setting up.
Yeah, I gave Tony a recipe for a turkey burger, and he loved it. He said he did it, and he loved it.
Oh, man. So, can we, the Pieces of a Dream cookbook? Are we expecting that anytime soon?
I thought about that. There might be something we can do.
I mean.
Yeah, might as well. What the heck?
I mean, you just sit back, and you just get, like, 4 or 5 recipes together, and then all of a sudden, y'all on Rachel Ray. Y'all on the Food Network. This is before and after.
That's right. Y'all pieces of a meal.
There it is. I mean, he got the name. So, apparently, it's crossed his mind already. Y'all be y'all own musical guests.
That's right.
We gonna teach you how to make this meal, and we'll be back with Pieces of a Dream.
See ya. Yeah.
But last certainly not least, I got two more questions. This is about the career. When you sit back and you look at your career, like, what is it that you guys like take to heart, or something that you feel like, oh my God, we did XYZ, or is it something that you just hold with you, or you want to be remembered for? That's a better way of saying that.
Well, there's so many things that, you know, we're proud of that I think were really monumental. One is having opened for the great Count Basie.
Oh, yeah.
And him saying that we were a hard act to follow. He was quoted in the paper the next day. He said, "Hey, them guys are a hard act to follow." Like that, and playing 2 tunes with James Brown on the Lou Rawls Parade of Stars telethon.
Godfather Soul.
Yeah, we got to play 2 tunes with him. And he came around to the keyboard and said, hey, you got an organ sound on that piano? I'm like, wait a minute, you got an organ sound in that piano? Okay, yeah, but I knew what he meant. Yeah. I pulled up an organ patch and he took like an organ solo. And I was like, man, how you know you can play like that? And then he went on back around and, hey. And, you know,
oh,
did
man. And I got to know, Curtis, anything that stuck out to you?
Yeah, we did the Atlantic City Jazz Fest one time, and we opened up for Buddy Rich.
No, you good?
Oh, we're good?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We opened up for Buddy Rich's band, and he had heard me play, and he was giving me big props, and then while he was playing, he was doing a solo and looking at me like, check this out, kid.
Oh, that little competitive urge. Let me show you how it's done.
And instead of looking at, like, you know, like he was trying to show me up, it was like, okay, well, he felt that was worth it. You know what I
mean? Okay.
Just the fact that
he has to acknowledge what you did. Yeah.
And then he came down afterwards and said, man, he said, you keep doing what you're doing. Because you got it going on.
That's like, all right.
You got it going on.
Wow.
And then the other one was when this young lady came down to me and said, listen, Miles Davis wants to know if you could play for him. And his nephew was playing for him at the time.
Oh, this is better than blood. Hey.
And this was at the Playboy Jazz Festival. And I was like, we were like just getting, you know, we were on our second album and everything. And I was like, tell him I'm flattered, but, you know, I got my own situation.
You didn't take it?
No, man. We were gigging.
I get it.
We were gigging with Grover.
All right. If you got a pick, all right.
But yeah,
we're talent thinking in water apparently.
Grover's like that.
Right, yeah. I'm like, no, I ain't dumping this.
Oh man, and
but that was flattering too.
Oh, that's beautiful.
We grew up on the road with Grover.
Grover. Well, yeah, you got it. You know? That's your hero. So I get that
for sure.
That
broken wrists and all.
So, oh man, and lastly, I gotta ask, what advice do you have for the newcomers? There's a ton of talented guys who listen to us and listen to you guys. If you had to give them any advice just to put them on their way. All right.
Well, let's see.
Play sports instead?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, that's just my traveling.
Well, you got to first practice until you can't practice no more, and then practice again. Also, go and, you know, listen to people that are doing what it is that, you know, you're looking to do. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's rock music, then go and see those shows. If it's jazz, go and see those shows. If it's contemporary jazz, smooth jazz, go and see those artists and support them and do a lot of listening and do as much playing as you can. You know, go to like jam sessions and sit in and get heard, and embrace the social media part of it, you know, that could be, you know, uh-huh. that's a big part of it. Now we've had to, you know, coming from you know, like before there was even cell phones, you know what
right,
I mean
right.
You know, to where it is today, you know, and having to adapt as older adults ourselves. So you know, that's something that you know, you can't avoid, you know.
Yeah, that's real. I mean, my entire thing is based on social media. So, like, mm-hmm. like I have to now. It's
yeah,
like,
right.
what they say, get with the times or get left behind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
that's a good reason of why, like, newer generations, myself included, can know some of your stuff. Like, we can dig through the crates as much as we want, but... I follow you guys on Twitter, and if y'all make an announcement, that's kind of sort of how I knew about the new album.
Mm-hmm.
The new album, because you had the countdown, and you would show
right,
up.
That was all social media, yeah.
Yeah, and that was all social media, so yeah.
The other thing, I think that in this business, you got to have somewhat of a thick skin, because you're going to go, I mean, there's a lot of ups and downs in this business, you know, and for people starting out, sometimes could be more downs than ups.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you gotta stay persistent. You know, if this is really what you want to do, don't get discouraged enough that you throw in the towel. You know what I mean? If this is what you want to do, this is what you love to do, if this is your passion, don't let nobody tell you you can't do it.
That's
you know
real.
What I mean? Stay persistent about it. And like James said, practice, you know, because that can only get you, make you better.
All right. Hey, wise words from guys who done did it, and you guys been doing it for, like
yeah.
I said, over 4 years. And
one last thing.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no shortcuts. You know, you can't just get to where, you know, you can't just be where you want to be.
Uh-huh.
You
right.
have to get there. You know, you have to grow to that point. You know, there are no shortcuts. And like Kurt said, you got to have a thick skin. This is not, it's not an easy thing. You know, and if your heart ain't in it, then it's not gonna work.
I feel you.
Yeah, don't waste your time if your heart ain't in it.
I feel you. And like I said, thank you guys so much. Great advice. I didn't ate up so much of your time already. I want to thank you guys, Curtis James, man. Thank you so much for just being on the show.
Thank you.
And we would like to thank all of our fans for keeping us around for 40 years. Because the question you ask is, how do we stay around this long? Our fans keep us around. You know what I mean? People
yeah.
that buy our records, people that love our music, and people that come to see our shows. That's what keeps us around this long.
That's real, man. Thank you, man. And, hey, I'm still going to keep listening. I know where to send the child support checks to, but I'm expecting it because there's some cussing in this album. We get that babysitter.
Oh, boy.
You know, if something happened.
Might be some new pop.
Yeah. So I know exactly where the checks coming from. Yeah, that's all y'all.
Right.
That's all. But thank you guys so much.
Thanks, man. Thanks for taking the time to interview us.
All
thank
right.
you.